Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Fourth hour here on Robbie and Rexford, 102.105, 102.105, 106.3, The Game, The Game, Nashville app, Hillside and Huckle Game Studio. Joe Rexford, Adam Bingen in for Robbie Stanley this week, Michelle Knezovic. And we're gonna hit the Titans preseason game hard this hour, folks. We're gonna hit it hard. Now, Adam, you are welcome to join me in a list if you like, or you can just react to my list, whatever you prefer. But I do have a list, and I got a list of a top 10. I like top 10 lists. Okay, I know it's the listicles and stuff, and it's more of like a June, July thing. But I think a top 10 list is actually appropriate today as the Titans open against the Baltimore Ravens tonight, preseason football opener. Someone asked on text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. By the way, if Lamar Jackson will be playing, I would say I would not be looking for Lamar Jackson out there. And I would also not be looking for a whole bunch of regular Titans, key Titans, to even be on the sideline, let alone in the game. I think a lot of guys used to be left home. They're home the rest of the way. They have the Bucks and Cardinals coming in. They have joint practices and games with them. So it's all going to be home, and I think they're just going to let a lot of those veterans just chill, stay home, watch it on TV, and get back to work starting tomorrow. So top 10 Titans of interest tonight, and I am putting them in order. So you're also welcome to argue with me, Adam, on this, or anybody out there who would like to join the discussion. Number one, I think we would agree. Not Jared Stillman and I did kind of argue about this yesterday, of course, because Malik Willis to me is a clear number one. That is one of the first things I thought of after they drafted him, is, wow, we actually have preseason games we may want to watch part of, unlike the way things are trending. But Malik Willis to me is a clear number one. You could make the case, Jared's case was, well, he's not going to matter this year. So from the Titans' perspective, maybe he's at number one. From the fan perspective, yes. From the Titans' perspective, no. I'm still putting Titans, too, because I just think this is an important evaluation for him. I understand it's one preseason game in a long, long process. But there's just a difference. If you're a quarterback and you know you're about to, you can actually be hit, tackled, sacked, that never, ever happens in camp, there's just something different. And that affects some quarterbacks a lot. And it doesn't affect others. The ones who are as unaffected as possible, there's a correlation between that and great quarterback play. I think reading a defense snap after snap, being in charge of an offense in a real game situation, I think there's a lot of evaluation value there. So he's my number one. Any issues so far, Adam?
No. Zero issues so far.
All right. So two, I'm going... So, again, when I say Titans of most interest, I'm going, like, from our perspective. I mean, I'm not saying this is, like, the Titans checklist. I mean, I think a lot of these games for Vrabel and his staff, really, it is, like, bottom of the roster stuff, you know, too. Special team stuff. I mean, a lot of stuff that, frankly, is kind of boring for our purposes. But for me, number two is Treylon Burks. I think he's going to play. I don't know how much, but... Look, this is a guy who got drafted in the first round to replace A.J. Brown. And it's been a good camp. A little bit of a wall lately for him in camp. But clearly a huge step forward after the spring and the concerns with him. So how does he look in a game setting going against corners in different jerseys? Speaking of corners, my number three is Caleb Farley. I'm a little less certain about him and how much he plays. I think with Farley, and I made this point also to Jared with Jared and Caroline, you know, Farley gets great looks. Burks and Farley both do. But I think Farley gets great looks daily going against Burks and Woods and, you know, good reps. But this is still tackling to the ground. It's different guys. It's coverage switches. Again, game setting. So how does he look in that situation? My next two, I've got two right tackles. You know, the Titans have two right tackles. You have two, you may have none, and that may be the case. So there's limitations because you do an offensive line, of course, is big part of offensive line play is continuity, chemistry, five guys being together at all times, the guy next to you and how you work together, and that's going to be mixed and matched. But you know what? There's still, especially at tackle, there's still plenty of times when it's you and there's the guy you're blocking and you're on an island and it's third and eight, and how do you do? How do you look? How's the punch? How are the feet? It's an absolute that's one thing I know for sure is an open competition right now. I'm going to stick with Raidens as my prediction as the start on opening day, but I will say that I feel less confident in that prediction as the days go on. So we'll see if Petit Frere can make a little statement, and we'll see it with Raidens. I think people will see that Raidens is better this year, but is he better enough to actually be a viable option as a starting right tackle in this league? I don't know that yet. So there's five. Let's pause for your reaction there at this point. Is there a glaring omission that stands out to you?
No, I think you've hit all of them, really. I think, you know, Malik Willis is going to be incredibly interesting just because of the excitement that comes with drafting a quarterback, regardless of where that quarterback tends to be drafted, but especially a quarterback that got talked about a lot leading into the draft. And we talked about earlier this week about what role could Malik Willis have? Will he be inactive on game days? Could he be active every now and then? Could they slip him in for a trick play or a deep ball every now and then? And I think it goes hand in hand with the Tannehill conversation. There are a lot of questions about Ryan Tannehill, and a lot of fans have not forgiven Ryan Tannehill for what happened at the end of last season, and they want Malik Willis to look good because they want to have the hope that Malik Willis could be the Titans' next franchise starting quarterback. So there is a lot to look for there. The same goes for Treylon Burks and replacing AJ Brown, and you want to see Treylon Burks flash what he did that, you know, at Arkansas. You know, he's a big target. He's fast, and I think especially if he's playing against competition that's not up to his talent level, if the Ravens are playing second and third stringers, you want to see Treylon Burks pop and show that he is, you know, head and shoulders above some of the other, you know, the backups of the league. Yeah, and look, the offensive line play, it's not the sexiest competition. It's hard to evaluate that if you don't have, you know, if you don't have certain context. You know, it's harder to look for things when you're evaluating, you know, an offensive line as a novice football fan or observer, just because, you know, what the one thing you're looking for is making sure that they don't get the quarterback killed. But there are other things that there are more nuanced things that go into that, you know, in terms of how they protect the quarterback. And you know, so it's not the most exciting thing, but it certainly is, you know, probably the most important. So and Farley as well. So I don't have any issues with your first five topics.
Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. More controversy. Joe Rexford says Malik Willis is the clear number one. Thank you, Dennis. Bless your heart. That is perfect. Make it a tweet, and let's send that out. And let's see if the Roto World can run with that one. Malik Willis has unseated Ryan Tannehill. See, you just got to be careful what you're saying. By the way, okay, also on the text line, let me see if this is true. Apparently, well, Nate is telling me how to search these things up. Apparently, this is an unnamed. I'm going to see if this person actually found it. Claims to have found.
Oh, Ron! Ron called in and said it was in 2017. The game.
Well, it couldn't have been 2017. I lived in Nashville, Tennessee, so that definitely isn't true. Let's see. Okay. It was March 9th, 2014. So here's one of my tweets, but this is not the same thing. But here is a quote from the press conference. This is my tweet. Tom Izzo on the OSU fan, quote, "She was a jerk. You want the truth or you want me to lie?" But that's – so that was like – because I definitely asked him about it after, like, what happened with you and the fan? And that was his quote back. But there was a tweet before that on that same day. This tweet is March 9, 2014, 4:01 p.m., where I characterized the event that was the big issue between us. But very close. Good find. We found that it was 2014, so good to know. My gosh, 8 freaking years ago. How depressing. Okay, we've got – there's no way I'm getting to my next 5 until the next segment, so we will save that for that. Also, though, let me go ahead on the text line. Our friend Junie – has weighed in. Let's see Junie's. Junie's got a top 10. Let's read Junie's right here. 10-1. Des Fitzpatrick, Monty Rice. Well, he's not playing. Come on, Junie. Come on, Monty Rice on the PUP. Hassan Haskins, Nicholas Petit-Frere, Chigakonkwo, Racy McMath, Treylon Burks, Roger McQuarrie, Caleb Farley 2, Malik Willis 1. So there you go. So for the most part, I like your list, other than the guy who absolutely couldn't possibly play tonight. When we come back, the 6 through 10. Should I have gone 10 and then finished with 1? I never do that.
Yes, but
is
it's
that
too
the
late.
Better way to go?
Yes, but it's too late
I
now.
See,
yes.
I got it. Yeah, okay, I got it. I just, for whatever reason, I just never think in terms of going, you know, back to the front. But we'll consider that for the future. Coming up next, 6 through 10, Titans of the most interest tonight. Titans Ravens preseason opener. Robbie and Rex show 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The final countdown to the fall sports season is approaching. And before everyone hunkers down in their man cave, we're providing the ultimate date night opportunity. A pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, August 16th, coming right up this Tuesday. Plus, qualify to win a Davidoff cigar, blend bar cocktail, and gift card. Tune in to Chase, Willie, and D-Miss today during the noon hour for your chance to win. Brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, The Game Next, Phillips, Hillside Medical Game Studio, and Joe Rex Road here with Adam Vingan in for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic. We're talking preseason opener, Titans. Just catch the excitement, catch the fever of preseason football. Junie, like, by the way, on the text line, would like to, he said, yeah, just add any inside linebacker depth. So, okay, I would say Chance Campbell. How about that? I like... I think he's actually interesting. I've liked what I've seen from him, by the way, the Ole Miss product so far. And I need to apologize to John. John, I'm really sorry. He texts in, Joe, I wish you would have provided more context because I went to Twitter to look up Tommy Lee. Absolutely horrifying. I am very sorry. So let me just tell everybody out there, don't search Tommy Lee, okay? Actually, don't do that. Never should have introduced it. And now, see, here's another example of me... you know, either tweeting or saying something that ends up becoming a problem. So do not, if there's anything today that you don't do, don't type in Tommy Lee into a social media app.
Well, that just makes people want to do it even more. You know that? When you tell somebody not to specifically do something. How many people probably
okay,
just
Okay, well,
it?
Do it. Yeah, do it at your own risk then. Do it at your own risk because it'll... Not quite literally, but it'll slap you in the face, okay?
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying. Oh, no. It figuratively, but yeah, it's it's problematic. You see something trending sometimes, you know, you see something trending and you immediately have to know. But a lot of times I see, you know, someone trending and I'm like, oh, no, who, you know, fill in the name, died, oh, no. And it's just like some article about something or whatever. This is not an ideal trending situation on social media. All right, back to the Titans. Let's just please forget we ever discussed this.
I'm not going to you know, it's going to slap you
don't
in the
do
face.
It.
That just, poor, yeah. Poor choice of words there.
I said not literally. I said figuratively. Come
I
on.
Know,
There's
I
a
know.
Big difference.
Moving on to the Titans, 6 through 10, Joe.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Number 6, let's stick with rookie corners. Roger McQuarrie. And you know, you could probably pair him right after Caleb Farley, just like we put the right tackles together. Roger McQuarrie, I think he's probably going to get a lot of work tonight. And He's just been fascinating to watch. I like the pick so far. Limitations on what you can really do to evaluate it, but I like how he battles. I like his physicality. He's quick. He's fast. He's aggressive. He's a friend of the show who loves baked beans, and I do too. So we share that. I don't know. Did you hear him singing on the show, Adam?
No, I did not.
Absolutely incredible. He gave us
some very nice falsetto notes there too. So, but as a player, I think he could really be a factor this year. I think he's the fourth corner right now, would be how I think he'll start the season. You know, there are going to be injuries, and he seems like a guy, and this isn't always a lock with a rookie especially, but like a guy who could go inside or outside and you can feel okay about him. So definitely excited to watch him. Racy McMath is next for me. I want to see if what we're seeing quite a bit in camp translates to the football field in a game, and if he can build on that and make some plays in this game. I am pretty convinced at this point that he's going to be on the team. I'm not convinced that he has a consistent role in the offense, but I'm getting there because he has figured some things out. He's clearly worked hard. Rob Moore deserves a lot of credit too. And he's a really intriguing player. He could be that guy who, in situations at least, stresses a defense down the field, and they don't have enough of that. So definitely interested to see him. Number eight for me is Chigakonkwo. Look, a lot of this list is obviously going to be rookies, right? Rookies that we expect to play and see how they do. I'm very interested with Chig. I still haven't gotten a great feel for Chig as an inline blocker. Hopefully we see some of that tonight, and we'll see how much he plays and how many opportunities he gets. But he's an exciting player who I think over the long haul is going to end up being has a chance to be a good pick for the Titans. Don't know how much he's going to matter this year. I'd be cautious right now in expecting a huge role, but I think there will be some role. Anything to this through eight that you that strikes your fancy, Adam?
No, I think you're on it, Joe. Why don't we wrap it up here? Give me 9 and 10.
All right. Number nine. I'm gonna go Kyle Phillips again. Same thing. You know, you got the rookie, pass catcher. He has kind of taken over for Burks. Traylon Burks was like the daily. Oh, look at that guy for the first. Yeah, several days, I would say, of camp. Kyle Phillips' last 2-3 practices has been the, woo, look at that guy, along with Racy McMath, by the way. But Kyle Phillips really seems to be surging right now. So how much does he play? How many chances does he get to make plays? Look, you're going to see a lot tonight of Josh Malone and Robertson and Godwin and guys like that. You would see a lot of Hollister, but he's hurt. You're going to see a whole bunch of Mason Kinsey. If you tell me right now Mason Kinsey leads the Titans with 6 catches for 94 yards and a touchdown, I won't bat an eyelash, but you can't read much into it. You know, these guys who they know are going to matter on the field in games this year, how much work do they get? I don't know, but I'm interested to see. And then for 10, a lot of different ways you go. I'm going Logan Woodside for 10. And I think a lot of people would disagree with that. And there are plenty of other possibilities, like a Hassan Haskins, for example. I mean, he's probably right there on the fringe for me. But I'm going Woodside. I still think that it's important for Woodside to play well in these games and to kind of – I mean, it's just – look, I think if you're him, you have to know you're in great shape to be the number two quarterback. You've had a solid camp. And you're not really – Malik Willis isn't really creeping up on you to make a run at the backup. I don't think that will happen. But if you're Logan Woodside, you still can't feel totally comfortable. And I think he's got to perform well in these games. And, look, the Titans need him to be as ready as possible because if anything happens to Tannehill, he is the choice right now. So I'm interested just to see how he performs with this situation. He's had other people brought into camp to compete with him, and they haven't played as well as he has. But now you got an actual guy brought in with a pretty high pick who could be the future, who a lot of people would love to see be the number two quarterback. How does Logan Woodside react? I'm actually interested to watch the whole game from a quarterback perspective, and man, you can rarely say that in the NFL anymore for preseason games.
Yeah, and you know the receiving core in general is interesting to me, and I think we talked about this earlier in the week, that although this group has less name recognition than the group a year ago, of course, no more A.J. Brown, no more Julio Jones, you know, it is still, you know, it's potentially more reliable. I mean, Robert Woods has been a steady hand in the passing game his entire career, and Treylon Burks certainly has the potential, you know, to be a number one wide receiver one day. But then there is a lot of question marks. A lot of, you know, you mentioned Racy McMath, you mentioned Kyle Phillips. You know, there's Des Fitzpatrick in there as well. There are a lot of questions about. You know, this receiving core and whether, you know, it can help Ryan Tannehill be the best version of himself. So I am interested in that group as a whole. So those players that are probably going to play tonight, like McMath, like Phillips, are players that I will be keeping an eye on.
Yeah. And again, it's the amount of work will be interesting. I don't know. I think the way Mike Vrabel has trended, you know, a lot of guys who he believes will be key players, I could see a couple series maybe, and then you get into, you know, serious backup territory. Anyone on the text line, phone line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, if you've got somebody else who that we haven't discussed, who we should have discussed, let us know. Also, this would be great because I can move on from all these. I'm so sorry to all of you on Tommy Lee. I really am. Like, we talked today about social media gaffes, and I just stepped in another one. Alex from Montreal, Liam, John, I'm very sorry.
Did they all search for Tommy Lee?
Apparently, yes. And I'm getting like
they,
text, so,
they yeah. got a face full. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. We got to go. All right. We come back. We'll continue on the Titans and the preseason. And
you sounded like Tim Kirch in there a little bit there, by the way. Your voice just cracked.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy Lee. We'll be back. Robbie and Rex are 1025, 1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex showed all kinds of problematic things going on. You know, Michelle, I think that we should we like pay Dennis Burnside a salary for his tweets? Like, I think yes. We need to put him on the payroll.
I agree because Dennis, you never disappoint, ever.
I thought you might come back with some Motley Crue, but I guess not.
Oh, that would be appropriate. But maybe we should just stop talking about that person. Let's talk about the Nashville Sounds for a moment, because you can tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 5:35 p.m., 94.9 The Fan, as they play a doubleheader. The Sounds are home at First Horizon Park, taking on the Gwinnett Stripers. A little rain creating a doubleheader here. AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves, of course. Sounds Baseball, 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Yeah, so Motley Crue would be appropriate. Man, I feel like when you reach a certain age, certain things about yourself should stop being shared as freely as you may have shared them when you were younger. That's just me. I think I'm old enough to say things like this. So, Tommy, maybe just be a little bit more modest moving forward. And all of you, again, I apologize. And Dennis Burnside on Twitter, at Dennis J. Burnside. Follow him. His tweet about this is pure gold. Also on the text line, non-Tommy Lee related, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, Will from Nashville says, who will return punts and kicks tonight and the regular season? These are good questions, Will. Let's get into that quickly. Because I thought the depth chart didn't tell you a ton, and it never really does. And it's funny because no one even actually asked a depth chart question of Vrabel the other day, which is kind of, I guess that's sort of not irresponsible. Like, it's something that probably should be done as a formality. But, like, whenever Vrabel has been asked about depth chart, he's always like, hey, Robbie brought it out. He's talking about Robbie Boren. you know, spokesman for the Titans. So he basically blows off any question about the depth chart anyway. But on the depth chart, at punt returner, this is who I believe will answer your question there. Well, Kyle Phillips is number one, Mason Kinsey second, Reggie Robertson Jr. third. There was talk, of course, about Treylon Burks returning punts, and he's been back there catching them. But let me say one thing. Here's a called shot that I promise you will come through. Treylon Burks will never return a punt for the Tennessee Titans. Okay, and I had him back there. He's catching them. He's too valuable slash high cost in terms of first round pick as a receiver. And also, I don't think he's an ideal candidate anyway. Kyle Phillips, that's a part of why he was drafted. So I think we'll get to see him do that tonight, and that'll be interesting. Maybe not. Maybe Vrabel says, punt return, dangerous play. Let's get Mason out there and give him some chances. I'm not sure, but during the season, I feel very confident in seeing Kyle Phillips, and that he could be a difference maker. Kickoff return, which, of course, is a little less important in the NFL these days. There aren't a ton of actual kickoff returns, but the depth chart has Dontrell Hilliard followed by Trenton Cannon followed by Kinsey. Trenton Cannon, to me, makes this team if they think he's dynamite and dynamic as a kickoff returner. He has had some success in the league. If Hilliard's filling that job, then my pre-camp prediction of Trenton Cannon making the roster, you can just draw a big red X through that. That's how he makes the team. So now Hilliard's been a little bit banged up, wearing the yellow jersey while practicing, which is for everyone to know, like, this guy is dealing with something. He's practicing, but don't touch him, basically. So I'll be surprised if we even see Hilliard tonight, let alone Derrick Henry. I don't think we're going to see Dontrell Hilliard. So Trenton Cannon tonight probably gets some opportunity to return kicks. And if it's not just the auto touchback like it is so often, that will be interesting.
Yeah, the kickoff, the days of Dante Hall with the Chiefs, the human joystick. Am I remembering that correctly?
Dante Hall. I mean, I think that's right. Hall.
And of course, Devin Hester.
Yes.
The days of the kickoff return specialist are over, just because of how many touchbacks there are now. Racking my brain, when was the last time that the Titans had, a legitimate, punt returning threat?
You still need.
Where did Joe go?
Robo Joe, you're back.
There's Joe.
Am I back?
You're back.
Am I back from Roboland? I was sensing a Roboland visit. So hopefully I don't need to go huddle by the router here. But I may need to go huddle by the router. Look, you do have intentional. Well, sometimes kicks don't go as far as intended. Sometimes you do have intentional higher, shorter kicks to try to pin teams. Vrabel has called for that before. So you still have to have someone back there, but there's a lot less volume of that. Devin Hester, one of the greats all time. I'll give you Mel Gray, too. Speaking of the mighty team that will not yield, Mel Gray back in the day, my goodness, was he electric. But that's a good question, Will, and that's the thing that we get in this game, too. We get actual game situations. I mean, they have special teams periods every day, but it's not live special teams periods. So now – let's see who's gunning. Who's out there gunning for the Titans tonight on punt. That can be a big key to making a team or not making a team. And how about the actual punting? Brett Kern took a pay cut, getting up there a little bit. Still a really good punter in the NFL. But what if Ryan Stonehouse, booms a couple 55 yards and puts him out of bounds inside the five, right? And this is his opportunity in a game situation, lights on, to show something. The kicking situation is not interesting, which is a great thing for the Titans. But the punting situation, we'll see. Ryan Stonehouse, the only thing I can tell you is that he absolutely has a huge leg. Now, Is he the technician? Is he the short game master that Brett Kern is? Probably not, but here's an opportunity for him.
Yeah, that, you know, punting is not going to get people jazzed up for preseason football. But
the most important play in football, Adam.
I was actually thinking about this while we were talking about Devin Hester. ESPN had an article recently where they were trying to name the best players of all time, the greatest players of all time at every position. And Devin Hester was the runaway winner for returner slash special teamer. He received 29 of the 50 votes of the people that participated. I'd be curious for your opinion of the people who finished, you know, underneath Devin Hester. Very quickly, Deion Sanders received 6 votes. Gale Sayers received 5 votes. Brian Mitchell received 3 votes. Matthew Slater received 3 votes. Steve Tasker received 3 votes, and Desmond Howard had 1 vote.
So, just so I'm clear, this is returners, or this is special
returner slash special teamer.
Okay, because as Tasker, I don't think ever returned. He was like that. Made every tackle on special teams guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I mean, Desmond Howard won a Super Bowl MVP, you're returning a kick for a touchdown for the Packers. That's fine. But Mel Gray, I think, gets hosed there. Mel Gray, without having his stats in front of me, that guy was lethal in there. But yeah, that's about it. I think Hester, number one, is the clear answer. He was outrageously good.
No, he was special. Like, you know, that, you know, that you tuned in, I guess back then it was harder to tune into every game, right? Like, you actually had to have NFL Sunday Ticket to actually see out of market games. That might have been before that. Red Zone had to have been around by then, right? I don't know, but definitely.
Yeah, but his career, at least part of his career,
yes. But when he in his prime, you know, you had to watch kickoffs when he was back there. Like, and that, it's a lost art. It's just not as important these days as it used to be.
Yeah. By the way, Mel Gray, and this is the younger Mel Gray, who, by the way, also went to the same high school as my brother and sister in Williamsburg, Virginia, Lafayette, shout out. Also a Purdue Boilermaker. He had the first, second, and third oldest player to return kickoffs for touchdowns at 33 years old, like 33 years old 3 times, 276 days, blah, blah, blah. 9 return touchdowns, 4 times Pro Bowler, 1990s all-decade team, 3-time first team all-pro. I mean, in the 90s, he was before Devin Hester, he was Devin Hester. So people better recognize that, okay? I mean, come on, do I have to, you know, put this on the screen again? Come on, man. Like, there isn't much for this franchise to hold on to. You got to give Mel Gray some love. There we go. Thank you very much. And when we come back, we will talk about other former members of Motley Crue and their social media posts. No, I'm just kidding. We'll talk about the Titans. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexro. Joe Rexro, Adam Biggin, Michelle Knezovic. Navigating the end of a very interesting show. By the way, on my text line, I did not get a text from Tommy Lee, thank goodness. But I got something from Jared Stoma that I'm going to save for tomorrow. A very interesting slash controversial take from Jared on the face of the Titans franchise. So I'm gonna tease that for tomorrow. Of course, we're going to talk a ton about this Titans preseason game. Anything else that we have not hit, Adam, that we need to consider before these 3 magical hours of preseason football plays across the screen?
Yes. How about this tweet from Adam Schefter? Quote, heading into tonight's preseason opener versus the Titans, the Ravens have won 20 straight preseason games dating back to 2016. Their 20-game win streak has surpassed the Green Bay Packers' 19-game win streak from 1959 to 1962 as the longest preseason winning streak in NFL history.
And talk about just absolutely worthless facts. Interesting. Not problematic like some Schefter tweets, but utterly useless.
You don't think that if the Titans win tonight, someone's going to say, hey, we beat that team that hasn't lost a preseason game in 6 years.
Dance on the logo in celebration.
Talk about getting that national attention that some Titans fans crave. You break the longest preseason winning streak in NFL history. That's probably being talked about in the last block of First Take. But, you know.
I mean, Skip Bayless is all over that tomorrow.
Yeah, so the Titans are facing a preseason juggernaut tonight. Big test for the two-tone blue.
The funny thing is, like, the Ravens, I mean, obviously it really means nothing. Belichick's had, like, great teams that I think went winless. But the Ravens are actually successful, too, in that period. So maybe – I think John Harbaugh's actually been asked about that, kind of like, hey, you know, it's like the culture of winning, and that's fine. But it does also give me another sweet Lions memory. Preseason 1990. Barry Sanders coming off of his rookie year, and he went nuts, and they won like their last five games or whatever of 89. And so it was all this excitement about the Lions, and they went undefeated in the preseason. And so they'd won whatever, like nine games in a row if you combine regular season and preseason. And then I think they came out and just like got destroyed by the creamsicle wearing Bucks and went like 5-11 or whatever that year. It was perfect. Perfect. Lions and perfect preseason does not leak over into the regular season.
Right. This is the Ravens regular season record season by season since 2016. 2016, 8-8, 2017, 9-7, 2018, 10-6, 2019, 14-2, last season 11-5. So they've lost in the divisional round twice and the wild card once. So
overall successful. Winning in on both fronts. So is there a Titans fan out there who cares about the outcome of the game?
I think it's worth a t-shirt if they beat the Ravens tonight and break that winning streak of theirs.
Yeah, like, well, it is. I mean, there is a lot at stake. But, you know, coaches, like if you watch Hard Knocks, which I will this year, you watch, they do a lot in the preseason games, of course, and they got coaches in the booth. Hey, look, you like the losing or winning locker room, or even in the coach's booth, yeah, they are coaching to evaluate, but there's still, like, people still get upset or / happy about the outcome at times, right? I mean, it doesn't mean anything in the big picture, but, like, in the moment, there's plenty of examples of, like wanting to win the game at the end and being upset, or like there's still some emotion tied to the outcome, even though it means nothing.
For whatever that's worth. Some AFC South related news. Colts head coach Frank Reich said quarterback Matt Ryan will play the first quarter of Indianapolis' preseason opener. So not just the first series, he's playing the first quarter.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I'm happy for Colts fans. I mean, good. You know, that's, I love it. Like, I get why you wouldn't do that. And if he gets hurt, my gosh, Frank Reich, they're going to run him out of town before the season starts. But I like it. I mean, the more interesting these games can be, the better. I'm with Michelle. Great choice on worst in sports this week with Deshaun Watson playing. It's just like, you know, it's just like, ugh. It's just icky, right? But it's not surprising because, look, they already gave him the contract. Like, they're going to get him work whenever they can get him work, but it's still just like, ew. But another quarterback we've discussed this week who has confirmed as not playing will be Mac Jones, which is really interesting. Listening last night to Sarah Spain's show, listening to Greg A. Bedard, who has covered the Patriots for a long time, like, and covered the NFL, but he covers the Patriots closely, based in Boston. His description of like their offensive woes was like, when we talked about it and some of the things written right in The Athletic and ESPN.com about how bad it's been. After listening to him, I actually think the Patriots might be a complete disaster this year. He's like, I've never, basically to paraphrase, like, I've never seen anything like this, nothing close to this, getting to like practice 11, 12 and still completely incapable of like basic functioning as an offense. I mean,
who's their top receiver? I don't even know off the top of my head. Who's their top receiver?
So I think they still have, do they still have N'Keal Harry? Like,
no, they N'Keal traded
Harry,
him.
They traded him. N'Keal Harry. Right, yes. Right. So he's a guy who I've always believed, and this is just really just from watching him in college football at Arizona State, I always believed that he was going to be like a stud at some point. But
they have Devontae Parker. They have Nelson Aguilar. Yeah. They have
Aguilar, Kendrick Bourne, Jacoby Myers. It's a very
so-so group of
receivers. It's a very pedestrian group, but apparently, like, it doesn't even matter who the receivers are because
Mac Jones can't get them the ball.
Right? He's like basically they're throwing stuff into the flat because there's no time for him to set up at all. And he said so. Basically, Mac Jones. I read a Mac Jones quote the other day about 2% better and all that stuff, and he kind of had put on a happy face. But apparently, since then, he's had an availability where he was like pretty frank about how bad it is. So, of course, he won't be playing, so that helps. Frankly, if it's this bad, I wouldn't talk about a risk to get somebody hurt, want him anywhere near it. But
I'm sure a lot of people will have sympathy for the Patriots' struggles.
Well, if it really just goes downhill this year, and again, it's, you have to look at it, it's Matt Patricia, Joe Judge, coming back, and then, hey, special teams coach, defensive coach, how about you guys run the offense? You're my buddies. I mean, it's a bad look for Belichick if it goes this way. It just is. So we'll see. Now, we're saying all this stuff, and by week five, Mac Jones might be lighting the league up. I mean, this could also happen. But they're going to this West Coast stuff, the more Shanahan-type stuff, timing, patterns, things like that, and boy, it's just a lot of change and kind of strange change that seems to be going as poorly as possible. Dave on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, says about the question of the Titans winning the game. He says, the fans don't care, but if the Titans beat the Ravens tonight, the Predators might put up a banner. Oh, my goodness, Dave. Oh, boy. You just had to go there. That's one of my favorite. I mean, it's the one thing that I really love trolling the Predators on the banner thing. I really do. Like, am I mean for that, Adam?
There's a statute of limitations for that kind of thing. It's been 4 or 5 years. It might be time to put that one to bed.
Well, it's not like it's a constant or frequent thing, but it's every once in a while. I think a good Preds banner joke still hits, man. I think it still hits.
Yeah, there's a sweet spot. There's definitely a sweet spot.
Joe, all your jokes hit.
What's that?
She said all your jokes hit.
Oh, God. They hit the fan like something else, especially when I'm talking about Tommy Lee. So tomorrow we will try to avoid talking about Tommy Lee. We will talk a lot about the Tennessee Titans and the preseason opener. We will have Teron Davenport, who actually is at the game. There's a skeleton crew covering this one tonight in Baltimore, but TD is there. We'll get him tomorrow. We'll have a ton to talk about, maybe a surprise in the 9 o'clock hour. In the meantime, Chase, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. Thank you for listening. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 The Game.